This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
We honor you, Jesus. We have come to worship. We have come to pray. And we have come to listen to what you have to say. Our hearts are longing. Our heart is seeking. Our heart is searching to receive what you have to give. We ask for mercy again this day. We ask for grace, encounter. That you made this place a time of encountering you, Jesus. That we meet with you, Lord. You will encounter our heart. You will bring blessing to us. You will show us great mercy and great grace. We look up to you, Son of God and our Father. That you will come to our midst and do what you alone can do. You alone can give life. You alone can give spirit. It's by you men live. It's by you men can be quickened. It's by you men can be raised from the dead. Yes, Jesus. That you visit us with your mercies. Amen. That you raise your banner of judgment to us. Amen. You bring to us your status. Amen. You visit us with your testimonies. Amen. You visit us, oh Jesus, with your spirit. That you will cause this ministration to be a ministration of spirit and life. Amen. That you come to break covenant with sin and death. Amen. You break our covenant with hell and death. Amen. And make covenant of life and peace with us. Amen. And come and make covenant everlasting with us. Amen. You come and satisfy us with good things. Oh, Jesus, satisfy us with good things. Amen. Jesus, satisfy us with good things. Amen. And renew our youth like that of the eagle. Show us great mercy. Open to us a floodgate in the spirit. And grant us great help in the spirit. In the name of Jesus. Honor to your name. Grant unto us access in the spirit. Honor and glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've ministered twice. And I've been trying to consolidate both on the direction that way of the heart came from, which was to raise witnesses. And I said something that witnesses is not full until a witness has arrived in life. Because what Satan is hasting to do on the earth is to raise witnesses of death. Death is not when you stop breathing. Death is simply when you are separated from God, ultimately. And God is life. And God is author of life. God is life. God does not have life. God is life. And God is author of life. God author different lives. They may not use the word author in the Bible, but they use the word God giveth life. God is the giver of life. And God also created different forms of life. If you're a student of biology, you know that study of biology is a study of life. Based on different level of education, some life are non-motion, and there are life that are motion, like tree. That is a form of life. But it's stationary. But it grows and brings forth life. So God's ultimate desire is that men should be witness of life. To be witness of his life. But we know that God is the author of life and God is a giver of life. And God has different forms of life. From the beginning, he created different forms of life. So when you come to God and you want to talk to God, or God, give me something. God will say, my gift is gift of life. That's why they say the gift of God is eternal life. What God gives is life. God has life. And God is life, and God has life plenty. Like Peter and John on the way to the temple, and they met that crippled man at the temple that was looking to receive alms from them, and they told him, look at us. Silver and gold we have not, but such as we have, we give unto you. Rise up and walk. So if God wants to offer you any gift, the gift that God will offer you is the gift of life. And God can give you life that is lower than his own life. Like, angels are forms of life. And even in the order of angels, there are different forms of angelic life. The list of the angels is called, according to Psalm 103, angels of the places of his dominion. They are the list in Psalm 103, 22. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. They are the list of the angelic, and they are the list, the realm of heights, heavens. And from there, God formed another angelic life, which is called seraphi. This kind of life is a burning life. A life that burns. It's a form of life, but a life that burns. And you can see that it's not only in angelic life that you have life that burns. Underneath the earth cross, although we may not have it so much in Africa, but we have it in some places, what they call volcano. Volcano is a life. And it's a form of life. They burn. They are living. Sometimes there can be volcano eruption. They are a form of life that God put underneath the earth. And when they come out, they become hardened. When you see them, when they erupt, they come with so much like furnace. They are amber color. They are very, very, that's a volcano when it erupts is. But some of them, they become like ash when they finally cool down. When you think of seraph, think of heavenly creatures that are volcano in nature. They call them the burning ones. So how do I say that? You see an angel in Isaiah chapter 6. He went to the golden altar and went to go and take coal. And what I know, according to Ecclesiastes, Solomon, Proverbs, Psalm, you can't take coal and put it in your bosom. I will not burn. Because what they took is from their realm. They didn't come to gather coal. Our own coal. It's that you harvest your coal from the earth crops. So the coal that they brought is the coal of their world. Because that coal was in the temple. If the coal that God allowed the tabernacle made with hands of men were earthly coal, and the coal was what they dig out from the earth. If their name is the flames of fire or burning ones, you can be sure that the coal that was offered on the golden altar of the temple of the sanctuary were not earthly coal. Seraph didn't come to the earth to come and pick up coal, to carry it to them. That coal is a coal in their world. You cannot take a lower material into higher realm. You can only take material from higher realm to lower realm. The coal that was offered in Isaiah chapter 6 and not coal of men. So, but you saw this being, he flew to a burning coal, because they call live coal. So he showed that that coal has life. So seraph, which are burning, they have life on their inside. They are burning. And we saw that by a encounter of Moses at the backside of the desert. Moses saw a bush was burning, but the bush was not burning because it's not like the fire of the earth that destroy elements. If it had been a fire of the earth, the bush will burn. But what was burning was a being that was burning. It was a cherubim that ignited his flame. When he was leading the children of Israel for 40 years in the desert, when it's nighttime, it becomes a pillar of fire by night. So I'm trying to tell you, and when you hear about seraph, they are burnings, they are coal. So they are life. There's a life that when you see that life burns. But when you say burn, burning to you on earth are things that are damaged. Because what make our own flame to start destroying because we fear? I don't think that when Adam has fire, that his fire burned. It was those elements as a result of fall that they lost their property. The laws, the laws that govern them. Because for a fire to burn is a behavior of outlaw. The law that God put in there is not to destroy. There are burning life. There are life that burns. And there are life that shines. Cherubic life shines. They shine. And God is all this form of life, and God art all this form of life. So if God can create a burning life, which is a flaming fire, you can also know that God also burned on his inside. You'll find that in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. That was said, for our God is a consuming fire. And what made God to be a consuming fire, Solomon made us to know that love is like a vehement flame. In the book of Solomon. So what when you say God is a consuming fire, that consuming fire of God is the passion of God's love. That's why God is a consuming fire. And the God that we are talking about there as a consuming fire in that Hebrew 12 is the living God. And is the Father of spirits. The living God, who is the Father, is the revelation of the Father. That's how they started that, and they ended it up as what? A living God that is a consuming fire. They started that living God as the Father of spirits, who chasten us that you may be partakers of his holiness. So it's glaring that God is life. And God is interested in raising witnesses of his life. Because God does not have witness of his life yet. God has witnesses of forms of life that he created from the list of creature that has life. And I don't know the list of those creatures. But God knows them. God knows the list of his creature, which looks significant, is significant to us. But to God, God have great thought about them. You can be sure that God is thinking of those what tiny, tiny creatures, who seemingly despised by us. God does not lack witnesses of forms of life in every domain that God expected life to be. Human beings trying to move into another planet. When they went to Mars, they said that life can't stay there because it was too cold. Because life, there's a copy of photosynthesis, that there will not be life without photosynthesis, which is the shining of sun and water and all the process. So it showed that there's more distance between Mars and the sun. So sun, we have to travel to the Earth before going to the Mars. Mars cannot produce form of life. What I'm simply trying to say is that domain that God created, that life form should be there. And we don't know, because we can't say the Earth is what have the least form of life, because we don't know that planet. The Earth is the best place where life can survive. The other planet, the sun is too much, because they are more closer to the sun. And so the heat is there is very much. Too much sun will also keep life. God has different domain of life. The sea is a domain of life. God created all these things before man fell. These are what Adam and Eve were relating with. Adam was acclimatizing himself to his world. The earth is the Lord and the friends of the world. There was a word that God used, and that word was a teaching. That word was to teach the world, earth, that God put Adam. So when Adam was relating with his world, Adam was not thinking of what he can use gold to make money. The world that was governing the earth was teaching Adam what gold means in God. Because those things are life. They are forms of life. So God is life. And God has form of life. And God created domains of life. And so you can say that every domain of life are witnesses of that life there. But it's only God life that does not have witnesses. God is life, and God's life, you can't see it in anywhere in all the domain of life that God created. All the domain of life that God created, God's original eternal life, God's life, which is called eternal life, you can't find it anywhere except in God. And so God's intention is to raise domain of life. God wants to make his life to be evidence. God wants to make his life to be evident upon the earth. Angelic life is not God's life. And angelic life, especially cherubic life, is the quote-unquote highest created form of life. The least of the angel, which is personality, the kind of life he has, does not need anything to come to this place. He can come to this place and be unseen to you. He can come to this place and be seen by you. By the reason of that life that God created, the list of the angel, which is called principality, it does not need any permission to move to this place. It won't pass through your door. We just enter this place. And it can make his life where you won't know that he's around. And it can make himself manifest where you know that he's around. That's the list of life that God created in heaven. And God created the highest one, which has cherubim. But in all this domain of life and onto the earth, the life that God put on the earth is earthy life. What Adam and Eve, the first man that God created, is earthy life. So Adam and Eve were not witness of God's life, eternal life. How do I know? Because if they have God's life, God cannot sin. James said in James chapter 1, and God cannot be tempted. Adam and Eve were tempted and they fell. But God cannot be tempted. So if truly Adam and Eve has God's life, they would not have been tempted, let alone falling. So you see that God's life was not on earth. So the life that God gave to the man that he made, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is earthy. Earthy living life. So really, Adam was not witnessing to God's eternal life. So we saw that what was very close to God's life was witness, or a measure, not in fullest, a measure of what God's life is all about was manifest, was by Apostle John. Make mention of it in 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning. This beginning is not the beginning when God created the heaven and the earth. Because there are many beginnings. So the beginning is the manifestation of a God's high throne life. The high throne life existed or descended from the world of eternity and came into the world where beginning began. And that beginning was what John was talking about. That which was, because in the realm of eternity, there's no was there. There's no yesterday, there's no today, there's no tomorrow in eternity. Eternity is a span. It's an unending span. It's an infinite span. It's an infinite span. So there's no yesterday, today, tomorrow in eternity. It's a span. So the glorious high throne, they exited and descended into a world called the beginning. And that beginning, there was nothing in that beginning. Isaiah 40 also described that beginning. Psalm 90 also described that beginning. Proverbs 8 also described that beginning. That beginning is a beginning of the creators. So there's a beginning of creator. And it's the beginning of creatures. So the creator has their beginning. And creatures have their beginning. So Genesis 1 is the beginning of creatures. Gospel of John chapter 1 is the beginning of creatures. Proverbs 8 is the beginning of creator overlapping the beginning of creatures. Psalm 90 is the overlap of the beginning of creature and the beginning of creatures. So there were beginning of creators, which was the beginning of God, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And there's the beginning of creature. You also find that same thing in Isaiah chapter 40. It was an overlap of the beginning of creator and beginning of creatures. Because the creator of the ends of the earth
He fainted not. They talk about that beginning and overlap it to the beginning of creatures that faint and become weary. So as I was saying, that there is the beginning of creators. So when you read Isaiah 40, Psalm 90, Proverb 8, you find this. Oftentimes, if you don't see eyes, you won't be able to overlap when they're talking about the beginning. So the beginning, it was the beginning of creator. So the first beginning is the beginning of the creators. And there are three beings that are the creator. The God, the Word, and what? And the Spirit. So you find those three beings. You find that when you check a proverb, proverb does not call it war. It called it wisdom. So the person of the word there was wisdom. And the person was there was the Lord. He called God there as the Lord. He said, the Lord possessed me in the beginning, in Proverb. When you see Psalm 90, Psalm 90 also refers to as the Lord. And you also see there's a capital Lord and there's a small Lord in Genesis and God. God there is the Father. Lord there is the person of the Word. Lord, that has been our dwelling place in all generation. Everything existed from the Word, the Lord. That's why it's the Lord that owns everything. He's the owner. The person that God, the Father, gave to own everything is the Lord. Because the Lord simply means the owner, the master. Because he was the instrumentality of the Word that brought for all things. The Father is the one that conceptualized things. And then it's the Word that brought them forth. And the Holy Ghost is the one that energized them. It was the power to bring them to manifestation. So the owner, under the creator, the person that they give right away to own things, is the Lord, who is the Word. That's why it was not a contention. Because it's one that owns all things. It was not a contention for the Word to become flesh. Because really, really, it was the instrumentality that was used was in also making all things. So for him to become man and come to die for man was not an absorbing. Because by him, all things were made. Colossians 1. For him and through him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. For by him we are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principality or power. All things we are created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So it was the instrumentality, it was the Word. So we can see that that was the key that brought forth all things. So it was normal for the world, the person of the world, to become man and decide to come and die for man. So there were domain of life everywhere, and the beginning of the creator overlapped. Because creator creates. So when they create, they created a beginning. You can see their first creature were beginning. Beginning. They created beginning and they created ending. Because it's the beginning that allow words to be made. So they brought forth beginnings. And they created beginnings. In beginning, they have eternity, which is a span. They have the beginning, which is their own beginning, when they descended. Because they have beginning, they also have ending. Because you can't have a beginning without have ending. If there's a beginning, there must be ending. It's only eternity that doesn't have beginning, no ending. Everlasting has beginning, and has ending. But it's just like the program of everlasting is that by the nature of everlasting, it is expandable. Expandable means it can increase. There are things you do. Based on the laws that God used to knit everlasting together, they are elastic. So long as you are abiding by the law will keep expanding. Just like a leather shoe. You may use a leather shoe and use it for 2 years. Another person will use that leather shoe and use it for 20 years. I'm talking about original leather shoe. What will determine if it will use for 20 years is treatment. Is the person, after each time he wears it, carry it under the sun to dry it and use some kind of wax to treat it? Because wax is like you are trying to make sure the surface is tenderized. It's like as if you are oiling it. So to make it soft. So that it does not crack. So you maintain it. So likewise, it's everlasting as it's lost. So everlasting can have everlasting to everlasting. Depending on if you want everlasting to keep expanding, one of the things that make everlasting to keep expanding is meekness. Meekness. Because the everlasting will not yield the next everlasting when it sends that you are haughty. He was talking somewhere. He said, for they that have destroyed the earth. When we talk about Revelation. And you will judge them that have destroyed the earth. Revelation chapter 11 verse 18. Is the manifestation of the kingdom of this world. What took over the earth? Something that Satan came to use, because the Lord created the earth and the Lord created the world that should run the earth. Satan introduced sin and death, and they corrupted the world of the earth and they run their own war. So in Revelation chapter 11, God judged the kingdom that the world have used to hijack the earth from God. God judged the spirits and the dominion, rebel order, and rebelling governing force of the earth that is culturing source of the earth. That's the essence of Revelation 11. For the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. So we can see that in that revelation, after they took over the kingdom of this world, the dominion, the stars, because you find out in that book of Revelation chapter 11, stars fell. There was earthquake that happened and stars fell in Revelation 11. So those stars that fell in Revelation 11 is not starry lights that fell. They were spirits. They were systems. They were laws that evil spirits have run on the earth to hold the earth in rampage and hold the earth in hostage. So when those stars fell, something major happened. What happened? Major thing that happened, that those spirits were dislodged by the reason of the earthquake. But it's not only spirit that fell, laws. Because spirits were using laws and ordinances. What is ordinances? Ordinances were created by evil spirit to receive worship and service from man. Because Ephesians chapter 2 taught us that there is a prince of the power of the earth. So Satan and his fallen angels, they created a war in the air. And that war is what every man are under. When they gave it to you on the earth, you come under that war. They call it elements of this war. So it's not only beings that are there, although those beings are the ones that perpetuate elements of this war, but not only elements of this war, they also perpetuate wisdom of this war. So in that realm are wisdom. People will be on the earth, they don't know that there's a transmitting of different kind of wisdom into their hearts. Just as God also has wisdom that is from above, James. But the wisdom that is from above is far pure. So they are describing the wisdom that is from above, and they are trying to talk about things that are contained in that wisdom. That wisdom is pure, that wisdom is peaceable, that wisdom is gentle, that wisdom is easy to be entreated, that wisdom is full of mercy, that wisdom is a good fruit, that wisdom is without partiality, that wisdom does not have hypocrisy. And that wisdom is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights. Likewise also, when sin entered the world, and death through sin, they also created in the air. Spirit were arranged in the air, and those spirits, they created a world that they were living inside. And in that world, they feed the air, and they are perpetuating wisdom we are being given on the earth. Not that there's a wisdom from above, they too are perpetuating wisdom. So what was just in Revelation chapter 11 was not just spirits that were cast down. They also cast down wisdoms. So if the wisdom from above was pure, then the wisdom that was there is devilish. Because it talks about that wisdom. When you read that book of James. So after you have described the wisdom from above, then you move to the wisdom that is from the beneath. Who is a wise and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his weakness of wisdom. If you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not. Don't say that's me. It's God that knows those who are saying you are glorying in what you're not glorying. Because you need to know what is that thing. Glory not. And lie not against the truth. So the truth of God is supposed to combat that thing. Don't hide it. Glory not in it. Neither lie not in it. Don't rejoice in it. Don't excuse it. Why must you not excuse it? They go to them. This wisdom, they said, that's envy, bitterness, murmuring, strife. They said it's a wisdom. That thing inside of you is a wisdom. That means that thing is not just is my behavior. It's not just that's not my daddy. That's my my daddy's an angry man. It's not your daddy. It's from somewhere. So he's saying that envy, strife, bitterness, fighting, quarrel between husband and wife in marriage, arguing. He's saying that thing is a wisdom. But you must know it. God is a wisdom. That's why you can't say, I don't want to do it again. When you say, you made up, I'm going to go to do it again, you don't stop doing it. You keep doing it. Because that is a wisdom. And it's not a wisdom among men. I said, this wisdom descended not from above. So in chapter 17, he began to talk about wisdom that descended from above. So this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, is sensual, and is devilish. So they talk about three dimensions where this wisdom came from. So some of the things that you have inside of you, they are earthly. Some of them, they are sensual. Some of them, they are devilish. So it's upgrading. Earthly is lower than sensual. To be earthly me is carnal. To be sensual me is becoming more spirits, but falling spirit nature. And to be devilish me is a thing that is inside the devil. It's a matter of evildoer. For where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. So you can see here that what you see as nature, what you see as habits that you are combating with, they are wisdom. But it's a wisdom that produces life. Wisdom that have yielded nature. Wisdom that has produced a manner of life. So it's a wisdom that you are carrying. But this wisdom, it descends there from beneath. Because it's not from above. Because in above is God and the Father. But it was a fallen spirit that ascended into the air of the earth and feed the earth. And now teach man that wisdom. And that wisdom is the source of woman's life. Just as Proverbs 8, wisdom speak, and wisdom was a source of life in creation. In Proverbs 8. So there's another wisdom that also corrupted God's creations. Ecclesiastes 7:12. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life. I say God is life. And God has life. So every domain of life, including angel. That's why when they were talking about Lucifer in Isaiah 14, in Ezekiel 20, what? 28, they said that are full of wisdom. So if he's full of wisdom, in his wisdom is the life of that cherubim, Lucifer. Because wisdom gives a life. So when they say Lucifer is full of wisdom, it means he's full of life. That's why you cannot have Christ as a life. You have to track Christ as a life, as wisdom. They make Christ unto you first as wisdom. Then next thing, righteousness. Then next, sanctification. And next, redemption. Redemption is transmitting of life. So you must transmit life. The way there's blood transfusion. So redemption is transfusion of life. Sanctification is transfusion of life. So when the soul is going through sanctification, it's a transfusion of life. It's going through redemption. It's a transfusion of life. Because you can have blood. If there's no transfusion, you won't move it into life. Because when Christ our life shall appear, so our life appear. But really, how does our life appear? Our life must appear firstly as wisdom. And the revelation of that wisdom is what they call righteousness. Or trying to make you assess that life is what they call righteousness. Wisdom is a mystery. What is called wisdom as a life, when you break it down and you dismember it and you are making someone to learn it, you are making someone to understand it, is righteousness. He's talking about the same thing. Wisdom is righteousness. But they are just talking about different process and stages of how you made that life visible and how you made that life applicable. Without righteousness, wisdom is not applicable. Because righteousness, it is wisdom. He can't say a thing is wisdom in God's sight if he will not make you right. A thing is not wisdom if we not make you to live right according to God's definition of what is right. So, saying that Christ is wisdom is a mystery. But trying to crack into the property of wisdom is righteousness. When you hear, well, Christ made you wisdom, righteousness. That means what you find in wisdom or the learning of wisdom is righteousness. That means if truly you say you are learning wisdom and you are becoming unwise, you need to be righteous. Like God, who is righteous God. And if truly you are living right, righteousness will sanctify you. What sanctify you? It will set you apart from the former person you were before. So when you hear Christ is made to us, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, they are talking about the process of conducting life. So when life will manifest to you as wisdom. Raw life. What is life? Life is wisdom. Life is wisdom. Wisdom says, with me are durable and enduring substances. I have substances with me. And my substances are way of righteousness. It's with me. With me are part of judgments. But part of judgment is in wisdom. Ways of righteousness is in wisdom. So wisdom must open up itself to know what is wisdom. So, life is what God wants to give. And that's why John Christ came. John 10:10, the thief coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So I said that the life that God gave to man that he created was earthy. And that earthy is called living soul. For the first man, Adam, was of the earth, earthy. And the first Adam was made a living soul. He has life. But that life is there for the life of God. And God's intention is to bear witness of his own life. And I said, nobody could bear witness of God's life except the person of the Word. So the Word that became flesh was the first witness of God's life. And that was the essence of 1 John chapter 1. That which was in the beginning. So that's what brought me to beginning. That's the beginning. It came to bear witness of the beginning. So you can't just move into eternal life at once. So it bear witness to the tale of eternal life. God, eternal life has head. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. But you want to go. See that God has two things. Say Godhead,
Godhead.
And eternal power. Say eternal power,
eternal power.
Is the tail,
or
is the feet,
or
is the arm
of God's
head. So Godhead is eternal, but it's eternal power. So eternal Godhead has their eternal power. So their eternal power is their feet or their arms. Deuteronomy chapter 33:27. So you can see. So there's eternal Godhead. And there's that which is under eternal Godhead. Under eternal Godhead is what they call it? Everlasting arms. But Romans call it eternal power and Godhead. You shall be the head. And not the tail. So every head has its tail. So eternal Godhead has their tail. Just like you cannot just move to head like that. You move from beneath to head. So the tail of eternal Godhead is what they call everlasting arms. Or what Romans called eternal power. So, When God descended as earth power, he humbled himself. When God earth humbled himself into the realm of appearance, or humbled himself to begin, because they don't have beginning and ending. To begin means they humble themselves. A being that is not the creator is just a being. And to humble themselves to be a creator, they manifest themselves as eternal power, not as God earth. And that's the least they can step down to. God earth cannot step below eternal power because they are earth. Only name God is earth. Even when Jesus finished dying as a man, dear guys, the word, eternal word, I say, God ate. When he died and became flesh, he has a skin like us now. God doesn't have skin. In resurrection, when he met them, he said, Thomas, look at me. For spirit has no flesh and bone. So Jesus upon the throne has flesh and he has bones. The word, in the beginning, in God's estate, he did not have flesh. He doesn't have bone. When he was Godhead as eternal God and became everlasting arm or eternal power, he does not have bone, he does not have flesh. He was a creator. And the creator are not flesh. Creator does not have bone. They are spirits. God is a spirit. Even when he became man, let this mind be in you, Philippians chapter 2, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but make himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant. Being found in the form of a man, he humbled himself. So when God humbled himself from eternal Godhead and became everlasting arms or eternal power, he's an humble. And I said that they can't go below that. But even when Jesus, the second person in the Trinity, became man and he suffered for sin and went back to God, but still having flesh and bone, he returned back to Godhead. They call him, for he's the firstborn, the head of the body and the head of the church. For Christ, the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So God has head and God has body. The body of God, the body of the Trinity, their body is what they call everlasting arms. Or what they call eternal power. And that is lowest they can descend into. If they are to go below that, they're going to become creature. If they want to remain as a creator, they can't go below everlasting arms. They can't go below eternal power. If they want to remain as a creator. Going below that will make them to become creature. And that's why immediately the second person in the Trinity humble himself further. He's already humbled himself from Godhead to become eternal power or everlasting arm. To humble himself further, that Philippians was saying, you are becoming a servant. That means you are showing that you are going to serve the creator. Creature serve creator. So that's why Godhead must not go below everlasting arm. They must not go below eternal power. Because when you fall below that, you say you are going to be a servant. Because anything below everlasting arm, eternal power, are creatures. And creatures are designed to serve the creator. That's why I said that there is an interjection or a transition from the beginning of creator to the beginning of creature. Because you don't know when that thing happened. Because creature, then they created, they start another beginning. So the only person that descended in a form is the person of the word. When you look at every time where this God appeared into the prophet of old as a man or as an angel, the person that they reveal, that really manifests himself in a different form, is the second person in the Trinity. It's not that he comes as an angel, it's not that he appears as a man. He is the person. For how do I know? When you read the prophet, they said the Lord. They usually refer to him. So they're talking about Yeshua. But the time of his full manifestation was not yet until the New Testament. But at different seasons, he appeared. Why? Because he was the one that made all things. By him, all things we are made is the Lord. He's one of the whole things that created. So we can see that the domain of life is what God made. And God began to cascade down life from the heights of his creation, which we are cherubim, which I said the cherubims are shining life. But unto the least of life, if there are other form of life in some other planet, but we know the earth is where there is a major form of life. The Bible said, the earth, say the earth,
yes.
He has given to the children of men. People say there are men of other world. There is a lot of propaganda talking about alien, that there are alien world. Me, I'm not into scientific fiction. I believe that aliens are fallen demons and spirits. Based on Bible. Are they aliens? Yes. But I feel that those aliens are demons and evil spirits. People say, camera have captured them. Some satellite have captured such things. I don't doubt that they exist. I believe that they are in our airspace. Just as a good angel, the least of the angel can walk in there. If they are here with us. We are not seeing them, but they are here. And they can make themselves, you will see them. I also feel that those demons that fell, they are also on earth. And sometimes they can also make themselves manifest. And camera will capture them. They are not extraterrestrial beings. They are fallen demons. They are fallen angels. God does not have another beings that he created somewhere. Because in the last day, there will be people that want to confirm that there are other human beings that God created somewhere. In another planet. But those things are lies of evil spirits. Book of Psalms says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? That make a little louder than the angel. And you are crowned with glory and honor. And that put him over all the works of his hand. He showed that there is no another man somewhere in another world that God said, you have put all the works of his hand. And we know everything that God created, all the planets are put under the hands of man. So there can never be another creature that God put somewhere that God put the head under them. And so that's why when you see they are a whole department and they are making budgets every year to study about them and to design the earth in case those beings, they come to invade the earth. Will those beings invade the earth? Yes. But we know that they are demons. We know they are outlaws. They are beings that God drove away from heaven. And God cast them to air. But they rose up from air and went into the air of man and perpetrate and create their world there. Then Revelation chapter 11 show us their judgments that they fell. And the Bible says, behold, the kingdom of this world. Because Satan took Jesus to high mountain and showed the kingdom of this world. What he showed Jesus Christ was not a land space. What he showed Jesus Christ was not a land mass. What he showed Jesus Christ, an architecture of what he wants to build on earth. That this is what I want to build. And this is what I'm building. You can take it over and be the owner of it. But Jesus Christ rejected the kingdom of this world. Book of Revelation 11 says, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. So you can see that the domain of life and those forms of lives are not mirroring or witnessing God's own life. So Jehovah is the first being that came to witness of God's life. That which was in the beginning. And I said that Jehovah stands witnessing of God's life from his least states. He witnessed from his least states, which is everlasting arm. When he appeared, and the Holy Ghost came upon him, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. So being well pleased means it's an everlasting life being. He was witnessing eternal power of God. He was witnessing everlasting harm of God. Nobody, no creature on earth who witnessed to God's life. The archive for 33 years and a half, he kept on increasing that life until he came into eternal life. Look, has lived the God air power life on earth before he left, before he died. He lived it. John chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. Look, has lived that God air life before he left. That fourth chapter was a major phase of Look, has living the life of eternal life. He lived very short on the earth, but he lived it. The way God will live, the way God will live on earth. Look, has lived it shortly. But man can't design it because those things were high-coded life. He lived it in a fallen world. He lived in a world where evil spirits have designed a world that is contrary. How do I know that God did that life? He said it clearly. Holy Father, I come to you, for I am no more in the world. So he was on the earth, but he has exited the world, the king of this world that was that every man were under. I, Holy Father, I am no more in the world. But these are still in the world. Though you gave them to me out of the world, and I've kept them by your word, I've kept them by your name, they know you, but they are still in the world. They have not obeyed to the fullest where they can be on earth, but the world cannot hold them anymore. What is the world? The life that the world have designed cannot hold them. Jesus was very glaring to say it's no longer in the world, because the God of this world, the God of this world, he was higher. Because when you say you're not the world, it's not like you're saying it. I don't know in the world, no. That means Jesus was already made higher than the God of this world. He has a life that is higher than the God of this world. He has a life that is better with flesh that was weak, with body that can be hungry. A man that have God's life in his body and will be hungry. He has God's life, but he'll be hungry. But he has God's life, but he'll be hungry like every human being. He'll be a test like every human being. When he walk, he'll be tired like every human being. But he has God's life. Because they did something to him. They made sure that the life he has in him, they do not allow it to power his body. If they should allow it to power that body, he won't die. They were able to offer him as a sin offering. They restrained that life solely inside his soul, so that they can offer him as a sin offering. Because if they should allow that life to enter that body, sir, even the life that is not as to be like that as the angelic life, they can't die. How much more God's life? So they made sure that that life was contained. What does it mean? They quarantined that life. They quarantined that life in his soul. So Jesus was a witness of eternal life. Jesus was a witness of God's head. Because he was so much, he said this after the resurrection, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This was spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee, as thou art giving power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou art giving him. How can you give what you don't have? He could deliver eternal life to flesh. And I know that you can't give what you don't have. So Jesus, though he was in the flesh, he had eternal life and he could give it. As they have given him power. You gave him power. So Jokais has moved from knowledge. Jokais does not only have knowledge of eternal life. He has moved from knowledge of eternal life and has moved to world level. Realm of power is the realm of the world. Power is the realm of flesh and water. Or realm of power is the realm of seed and rain. The realm of seed and dew. That's the realm of power. So realm of power is the realm of the world. Why they must not move eternal life to his body is that he must die before they will move him to make covenant with eternal life. So Jesus has not made covenant with eternal life. But he has moved from realm of knowledge and have arrived in the realm of the world. Because in the realm of the world, there are two things in the realm of the world. The realm of the world is the realm of faith. And the realm of the world is the realm of power. Once have the Lord spoken, twice have heard. All power belongs to the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Upholding all things by the word of his power. So realm of the world is the realm of power. So realm of the world is the realm of faith. Say that, church.
Realm of the world is the realm of faith.
Our realm of the world is the realm of power.
The realm of the world is the realm of power.
That's the domain of power. In every life appreciation, you must move from knowledge to word and move into spirit before you can arrive at life. Say knowledge.
Knowledge.
To word.
Word.
From word.
From word.
To spirit.
Spirit.
From spirit to life. That's the circle of life. That's the circle of God's life. And each of these realm of knowledge, there are things you must learn there. When you move into the realm of word, you also have his things. When you move into the realm of spirit, he has his things until you are life in life. When I was talking about when you want to learn life, life comes to you as wisdom. That's knowledge. Is that wisdom given life? Is that the excellency?
Excellency.
What does that mean? The zenith of knowledge. the excellency, the zenith of knowledge. When you arrive at the peak of knowledge, knowledge should hand you over to wisdom. There's a way that seems good to man, the end of his way of death. Death is in every man. And so you can't live, you can't pass from death to life. Pass from death to life. To pass from death to life, you must know how death is wired. Because why? Death seems good to you. And that's what seems right to you. You keep doing it and you think you're doing what is right. I don't know that the end is death. So you must be wired with wisdom, intelligent that are higher than you. Me okuma, I know they die again. So, Jesus was the first man that could bear witness to God's life. He started bearing witness to the humble of God's life, which is as a creator. God's life cannot go below that. If God should go below creator, he ceases to be creator and become creature. And God cannot be a creature. So the second person that stepped below everlasting arm or eternal power was the word. And in that realm, you become a servant. I said, after the beginning of the creator into the beginning of creature, I said it's a transition. And that transition is a very close one. I said, if you read Psalm 90, you read Isaiah 40, and Proverbs 8, you find that it's just a transition. The beginning of creator into the beginning of creature. Oh, it's overlap. When you see that, the first creature that they created in the beginning of creature are cherubims that they call the sons of the morning that sang their first song. That's the first form of life. In that world, when God stepped down from his beginning, or the tail end of God's beginning, that God began the world of creature. Job said, "Were you there when the sons of the morning sang their first song? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy." And we know that these sons of God are servants, because they are sons, but they are sons that are servants because they are creatures. And they are the highest servants. As of today, in the first former creation, they have the first life that manifests. The first life that God brought forth. And this being, though they call them sons of God, but we know that they are created sons of God. They are not begotten. Jesus is the first begotten. But these are created sons of God. And begotten is higher than that which you create. They are creature of his hand. Where Jesus Christ is a son of his bosom. A son that came out of his being. Where cherubim are creature that came out of their world. God formed them. The way God formed man from the dust, God also formed them from their world. But Jesus is a being that came, even his birth. "For how shall this thing be? Seest am I a virgin, and I knew no man. For the Holy Ghost shall come, shall overshadow you, and the power of the highest shall rest upon you. And that only thing that shall be born out of you shall be called the Son of the Highest." This is not the order of cherubim. They form them with the hand. But this one, they put the seed inside the woman. And that thing grew out of it. Jesus obeyed God, allowed Holy Ghost to lead him, and was able to mirror, was able to house what I call the humble life of the creator, which is called everlasting and all eternal power. So under eternal power, under everlasting, that life is divided into two also. The life that God humbled himself to is divided into two. Jeremiah 10:10. "But the Lord is the true God." So it's this same Lord. That is all what this Lord is. Inside of him, you find these two things. He is the living God and an everlasting king. Or majorly, the two divisions of this creator is really the Lord is the true God and he is the living God. You also find the same thing in Thessalonians chapter 1, 19. So, you know, I told you, I said, anything below this realm, you have to be servants. That's it. So you must serve the living and true God, which is the realm that God humble himself, to. So because if you are not there, these beings are meant to be served. If you go below that, you will become a servant. He took on the form of a servant. That means he chose to go belong a creator and became a creature. And anything beyond creator is a servant. And the limit of where God can humble himself and descend to is the realm of creator. God, by nature, is not a creator. God is eternal. What does it mean? God has everything sufficient in himself. God does not create because he has lack. God did not create because, yeah, I'm so bored. Can somebody be saying, holy, holy God? All the time when people read, they think that God is like man. That need to have a we. Or we need to sigh God. They bring people that come to recite, I don't know, eulogy to God. I see God needs it. God doesn't need any eulogy for anybody. God is eternal. Paul was describing God, and the person the God was describing there, even alone, he was just talking about the living God. He was not talking about the true God. Which is higher than living God, which is higher in stature or in manifestation. Paul was not even talking about the true God, he was just talking about the living God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Our sufficiency is not ourselves. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God, who have made us able minister of the New Testament. And not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter he led, the Spirit gave life. And the person was talking about there, was talking about your epistle, living epistle. He was talking about operation of the living. He was not even talking about operation of the true. So the living God is sufficient of himself. So God is sufficient. What is sufficiency? That means there's no any lack in God. You are not a need to God. You are not a need to God. You are the one that needs God. You are not a need to God. God does not need anything from you. The one that you need. The living God is self-sufficiency. Everything God needs is available inside of him. That's why I said God is life. God does not have life. God is life. So, God does not need you. But God does not have that kind of heart. God does not need you in real sense. But God does not have that kind of heart. I say, I don't need you. That's not who God is. I'm trying to give you wisdom. God does not need you. But God does not have that kind of heart. Say, I don't need you. God is not a person like that. That is against his nature of meekness. God does not need me, but somewhere he needs me. So, but really, really, he does not. But God put himself in a place of disadvantage because of mercy and love. That's what love does. Love will put himself in a place of disadvantage. God will not say, I don't need you. Because that will go against his heart. And that will go against his nature of love. So, because of love, God put himself in a place of disadvantage. He intentionally did it. So that he will have a sense of need. So he will have a sense of need. But really, he does not need me. I'm the one that need him. There's a song that we used to sing when I was growing up. I need you, oh, I need you. Every heart, I need you. Look at what they call him. For blessed be the God. Blessed be the God. God who is blessed. Paul kept on taking Timothy twice in the book of Timothy. And what you can't be, this person is blessed. He said this person is the holy potentate. Only potentate. Who is the blessed? He's the blessed. The blessed one. I mean, this one, people get blessed though. But this one, in blessing, now in class. He's there in class. I wanted to know him. Something was pulling me. You need to come and know this person. Because if you don't know him, you can't deal with what he has. I kept on going through the blessed, the blessed, the blessed one, the blessed God, the blessed one, the blessed God, the blessed Lord. That is how you will see. Whose are the fathers? And of whom has concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. That is what they mean when they say God is self-sufficiency. But God, because of love, we are not like God. No wife should tell her husband, when you see a lady because she has red, you find them, both ladies, women liberations, extreme feminism. I don't need a man. What a man can do, a woman can do. That person does not have the nature of God, does not have the heart of God. God is blessed. God is self-sufficient. But God, because of love, put himself in a place of disadvantage so that he needs us, but does not need us. Because he's blessed. He's self-sufficient. God does not need to create anything. Being a creator is humbling himself. God making himself a creator is a stepping down. He can stay as eternal God. And that place is a blessed estate.
Thank you, Jesus. Onanono kof ef tot sas sevast. Blessing. 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 Blessed God. Blessed God. Blessing. 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 Tele mono, tele mono, tele mono, seketino losia. Elene nemolondololo son sosondololo son solote nemososia. Elene nelemono son solote kino lote nelosia. Elene tolosesini nolosia seni elosia. Elene sen soloti nele sen solotia. Elene sonsia. Elene sensia. Blessed be God, for I am blessed even forever. I'm blessed even forever. Blessed God, even blessed forever. Blessed forever. Blessed forever. Blessed. I am blessed forever. I am blessed forever. Showing to you even the manner of blessing. Showing to you even the manner. Even the manner. Even of the God with whom you have to do. Even the God with whom you have been called to transact with. Even the God with whom you have been called even to relate with. Even the God with whom you have dealings. Even the manner of dealings with which you interact. Even on a daily, on a momentary basis, for you see, even the God, even God, even God is blessed. Blessed God, blessed God, blessed God, blessed God, blessed. For you see, you've been called even to inherit even blessing, blessing. Even blessing. You've been called for to take, even for to take, even to draw down on blessing, even from the source of all blessing, even from him that is blessed, that is even blessed forever. Yeah, that custodes, yeah, that holds, yeah, that owns even all blessing. All blessing be even to this God, even to this God, even to this God. See blessing, see manner of blessing, see even the true meaning and the true definition of even blessing. For blessing is God, and God is even blessing. God is blessing, and blessing is God. For yea, take blessing. See this blessing and take the blessing. See this blessing. For you see in your alignment, even with this understanding, in your alignment, even with this knowledge, yea, you take blessing. You inherit even the blessing that God is and that God has. Yea, you take the blessing and you join to be amongst even the blessed ones, even the blessed ones, even the blessed ones, said the Spirit.
Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and the earth. Think about heaven. I know heaven is not a small thing. Psalm 103:19. Look at heaven. For God to call heaven. Look at what is heaven. Want to go? The Lord has prepared his throne in heavens. And what? And his kingdom ruleth over all. Then what is there? Bless the Lord. Ye his angels. I exert in strength that do his commandment. Hearken unto the voice of his word, Bless ye the Lord, all his host, ye minister of ease, that do his pleasure. Verse 22. Bless the Lord, all his works, in our place of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So there are three levels of beings in heaven. On the first wall, all place of his dominion. Verse 22. Bless the Lord, all his works, in our place of his dominion. Then verse 20, 21, all his hosts, which are seraphs. All work is dominion are Colossians 1, Ephesians 1, which are principality, power, might, and dominion. They are angels of first heaven in ascending order. Because Paul said, I know a man that was caught up to the third heaven. Bible never mentioned sixth heaven, they only say third heaven. And they called the third heaven, the last heaven, they called it the paradise of God. Then, from there, move to the third angel, which are in the third heaven. They call them his angel, which are cherubims. So cherubim, then seraphs, are place of his dominion, which are four layers there. Principality, power, might, and dominion. These are the things that God was calling to bear record. In that book of Deuteronomy, I call heaven. But not only heaven. I also call earth. So what is earth? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And the earth has given to the Son of Man. That means the best of the earth. I call it to bear witness. I call heaven and the earth to bear record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. So now I was trying to say that God wants men to bear witness of his life. So what is the life that God said before them? What kind of life is that? Although, when you want to look at the context of this, what God called life here is the life of the law. Because the law is meant to give life. Romans 7, he said, the law was ordained for life. And the commandment was ordained to life, I find to be unto death. So, and also you find the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul called the administration of Moses. Moses, when he called it death. So God said, he said before them, life and death. So God is saying that the law I'm presented before you can give life, and that law can also give death. And how will it give death? When you break it, you will die. When you obey it, you will come into life. But not only that, but that's what I said in the context of the law. God, that same record, when you read 1 John, chapter 5, he talks about a record that God bore. And said that life, what is that record? That record is life. Where to go? This is it that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And if we receive the record of men, the weakness of God is greater. For this is the weakness of God, which he testified of his Son, Jesus Christ. Son has life. And he that believeth on the Son of God hath not life. So you can see that the record is what? It's life. In this first John, he said, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Go back to that little room. I call heaven to bear record this day. So if there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word. So beyond angel, there are three that are in heaven that bear record. So the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Well, bearing record. Beyond angel, the Godhead also to bear witness to this thing. Because outside the angel that are in heavens, that are listed, there are three that bear record. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So when he was calling men to bear record, so we also talk about these three triune God to bear record to what is about to happen. Which are the creators? I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. And there are three that bear record in heaven. So heaven there is not just a planet. Heaven there are beings. I have said before you life and death. The same thing that he spoke about is what's replicating. So what is life? Blessing. What is death? Cursing. So life is blessing. It didn't say and. I said before you, life and death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So life is blessing. And blessing is life. So when you hear the word, the blessed one, the blessed God, you are talking about life. You are talking about life. What make God the blessed? When you say the blessed, the potentate, the blessed one. God is not talking about anything except life. God, that's how God sees blessing. God measures blessing in life. God measures blessing in quality and quantum of life. So God called death as cursing. And you find that cursing, you find in Deuteronomy 28. Which in the law, he was cursing upon their basket, things like that. But if you want to really curse in God's eyes, of course, is Isaiah 25. That's really curse. Isaiah 25. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees where revine. And it will destroy in this mountain what? The face of the covered cast spread upon all people, and the veil that is spread upon all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all the faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. So God is dealing with deaths. And there shall be no more curse. This is New Testament when they were reading Isaiah. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. So curse is death, which is the opposite of blessing, which is life. So the blessed God, or the blessed be the God and the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who are blessed with all spiritual blessing. So the blessing is life. All life. All that God is as life. In ways of death are two major ways of death. There may be other ways in a way, but in way of death are two. There is way of death that is more death under this on the earth. There's the way of death. Ways of death that is small death, and I saw the dead, both small and great. Revelation 20, 12. And I saw the dead, small and great. So, there's a way of death that is small. These are the two deaths that is upon the earth, small and great. And there's a way of death that is great. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 8 to 10. For we will not have brethren, have ignorant of our trouble, who came to us in Asia, that we are pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despair even of life. Because even the despair of life. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raised the dead, who delivered us from so great a death. So, a man can be delivered from so great a death, so there's a great death. Who delivered us from such a great death? But it's not only that he did. Look at another thing, comma, and doth deliver. So, there are two deliverances. So, a deliver from such a great death, and he does deliver. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy the other power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who do fear of death, where all lifetime subject to the bondage of fear. I said the list of God's life is everlasting. And not everlasting is divided into two. Living and true. Likewise, in life, God's life, everlasting, divided into two. Living and true. Likewise, death, which the enemy gives, is also divided into two. Is small and great. But beyond these two, there's another death that those that die these two deaths can die that death. That death is called lake of fire, which is the second death. So there is small death, there's great death, and there's second death. Second death is eternal death. And that's what they call lake of fire. So, lake of fire is eternal damnation. It's eternal death. Eternal is separated from life. They call it eternal separation from God. What is God? God is life. You are eternally separated from life. And you are one with death. So, a man can die small. And a man can die greatly. Just as a man can have life. And a man can have life more abundantly. God wants to make us witness of his life. In God, God has his small life. And God has his great life. The small life of God is what they call Christ. God has small blessing. And God has great blessing. The promise of God to Abraham was two blessings. In blessing, I will bless you. He multiplied, I will greatly multiply thee. So God promised Abraham, I will bless thee, but I will bless thee greatly. So there's a small life in God. The small life in God is what they call Christ. It's Christ. I've told you, I said Christ is the best life of God, or Christ is the foundation. But nobody is staying foundation. So the God has a foundation called Christ. Is Christ the foundation of God's life? But beyond Christ, there's a house that God has built. There's a full life. That full life is what they call Son of God. For thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is not just a Christ. These things are keys. They are mysteries. They are secrets. They are teachings. They are teachings. You have to learn them and grow in them. Paul was talking to Ephesian church. He said, you are not so learn Christ. You learn it. If you have heard him and you have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. What is the truth? John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth and life. But when you go to it, you have only half small life. But you can have great life. So, great life is the Son of God. Because why must we have great life? Because the what we are under is not only small death. We also have great death. You find that in Isaiah 9. You find that in Matthew 4. For they that sit in darkness are seen light. And they that dwell in the shadow of the valley of death as great light shone. So there's a light, but it's a great light. That means there's a light that cannot deal with valuation of death. That thing is too strong. It's stronger. Matthew 4:15. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness are seeing great light. But not only that, to them, who sit in the region? Those who sit in the region and the shadow of darkness, his light sprung up. Isaiah 9. The people that walk in darkness have seen the great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow. One is a shadow. The shadow of death. It's not death himself. So, he showed that the darkness there is death. But the other one is shadow of death. Shadow. My shadow is not me. So death has a shadow. So the region of the shadow of death is a small death. So they that stay in the region of the shadow of death. So one is a shadow, it's not death. So small death is a shadow of death. So that's a small one. But there's another one, you call it darkness. And that darkness, the answer to darkness is great light or great life. So, the spirit that is governing the head, you can't be free. If you take the law, the spirit of life in Christ, that will free you from the law of sin and death. So, great death is what they call sin and death. That's how Epistle Apostle calls them. Where great death is what they call hell and death. Say, hell and death. Why do they call it hell? Hell is the place God created for dead spirits. God created it. God didn't create air for man at first. He created it for dead spirit angel. It is the temporary place of abode before they will go to their permanent abode, which is lake of fire, which is second death. God says, since you like to die, you don't die, Abby. When they rebel and disobey God, you like to die, Abby. I put you in life, but you say you're not dead, you won't die. You choose death, Abby. I put you in life, but you chose death. Bible says, for the angel who left their first estate, God have reserved them in everlasting chain. So, air is a place for men that die greatly. And they will eventually take hell and death and cast them to lake of fire, which is second death. Air that was created for death spirits. Every angel that said they die, God put them in life, but they die. They chose death. And God put them in hell, which is temporary. Then in Revelation chapter 20, God took the hell and death and cast them to second death called lake of fire. So you must know that there are graduation in death. I want you to know that. That even home of great death, which is hell, will be cast into eternal death called second death, lake of fire. Lake of fire is called the second death. It's dead. But they will cast hell and death into that place. It's so that hell and death will die. You say you are homes of death. And it's death that you want to manage. I have designed another death for you. Say you want to die. You go die. And you will die eternally. Since that you say you want to manage death, you say you are here. Hell was created as a home of great death. But air, you are great. When you read the book of Psalm, when they are describing air, they say air is enlarged. Because air is everlasting. Air is an inverted everlasting life. It's expanding. No, when I say everlasting is expandable. So air is enlarged, its mouth. Therefore, air and enlarge herself and open her mouth without measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, he that the judges shall descend into it. And the mean men shall be brought down. The mighty men shall be humble. And the eyes of the lofty one shall be humble. I started my thought. I said, God wants to raise witness of eternal life. That's what God is after. God wants to raise men that will witness his life. But it's not only God. Why? You must ask, why? And the arch enemy of God, I swore, if God, you want to raise witness of eternal life, me too, I will raise witness of death also. I will have men on earth that are witnessing death. Small death, I will have them. I'm living among men. And I also have among men that say, my witness of great death. But God said, no, the best you can raise is to raise witness of great death. But God said, God has promised Satan himself, me, I will make an example of eternal death. And why must you know this? You must know this thing so that you will not transact with dead things. That's what I'm teaching. Rather than that, because you have one thing. You have one thing that's so dangerous with you. You have power to choose. You can choose life. You can choose death. God gave you that right. You can choose. And you have that power with you. And God will never take it from you. That's why I'm teaching this thing. That you must know you need to keep choosing life. Keep choosing life. And you choose life by obedience. That's the same thing. Because if you want to become witness of life, it's by obeying life. People will become victims of death by disobeying life and obeying death. That's the essence of what this teaching is, that if God will prove victims of life, either small life, great life, or eternal life, it will come by obeying life. Satan also will raise witness of deaths. Small deaths, great deaths, eventually eternal death. You by obeying, also choosing deaths. The choice is with man. So choose life is not to give your life to Christ alone. Giving your life to Christ is the beginning. Obeying God and doing his will is how you choose life. He said, who are deliver us for such a great death? And don't deliver. And he will yet deliver. Paul came to a time in his walk with God. He knew that he had been delivered from great debts. But it's not a thing that he came easily. It was 2 Corinthians that he said that. And he still knew that he has not yet fully been delivered yet. Because something can still happen. And he said, and he will yet deliver us. And the key to deliverance is obeying. But why does God want to deliver from death? He said that we will not be a witness of death. Why does God want to deliver into life? So that we can be a witness of life. And God is blessed. God is blessed with small life. Or God is a blessed being with small life. God is a blessed being with great life. And God is a blessed being with eternal life. So you can choose the kind of blessing you want. But we have been called to inherit a blessing. That one me, I know. It's good to have small life. But if you have small life, death and hell is enlarging the amount. So you can't afford to have small life. Because you have small life, and what is against you? God, I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail. There's something against the church. Death. That you are born again does not mean death will run away from you. So death. There be that. If you have small life, I will marshal great death against you. I know that you have life. You're not. Christ has been informing you. Oh, my little children, which I travel again in bed, that Christ be informing you. Christ have been informing you. But Christ our life have been informing you. So you have life. You have foundation of God's life inside of you, which is like Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, they ate spiritual food and they drink from spiritual rock, which was Christ that followed them. They said, move mommy to the place. He moved mommy to the people. People begin to complain. Is this all the food every day? The Bible say, and in one day, death moved. So that you have life is not enough. When you have life, my brother, John 10, have it more. When you have it more, have it abundantly. Have life in such a way that great death cannot hold you. Be a witness of life, because Satan knows when he sees witnesses of life. He knows them.
Assisimo pebro mamati assess noji. Zino journey, heaven as a journey. The righteous should run. The righteous should run. The righteous should run. The godly man should run. He ought to run. He ought to run. He ought to run. Run into the nest of salvation. Run into the nest of salvation. Run into my nesting place. Even my resting place. Even my rest. The rest I give. The rest I give. The rest I give. Oh, my nesting place of great life. Oh, for I have nested salvation with much life. More abundant life. More abundant life. Race into this nest. Race into salvation. You should run. You should run. You should run. Empty. Become light again. Become light again that you might run faster. Become light again that you might run faster. Don't glory. Don't glory. Don't glory. Don't glory. Don't glory. Don't glory. For glory is still ahead. There is glory ahead. There is salvation waiting ahead. So the righteous should also run. The godly man ought to run. He must run into God, said the Spirit of God.
First Corinthians 10, verse 9. So now that let us tempt what?
Christ.
So a Christ man can be tempted. That's a man with small life. Christ is a small life. Christ is a foundation life. Christ is the base life of God. You can tempt him. And if you have to say something that you can use to tempt Christ, you are murmuring. You can be murmuring in your life. Why is my life like this? Those people who finish life before me, they have already given birth to 3 children. Me, at my age, I've not married. Things that cause murmuring in your life. We murmur. Business is not doing fine. We murmur. You murmur before you marry. When you're not married, because babies don't come, you're murmuring. When baby comes, you're murmuring because you have not paid the school fees. Murmuring, murmuring, murmuring. Those things are death encroaching. They are gate of air. Murmuring. You murmur against your leaders. You murmur against your daddy. You murmur against your mommy. Or wife murmuring against her husband. Are you the kind of husband I want in my life? You have done a murmuring. There are many that want husband. They don't have. But God gave you one. You are not thankful. It's murmuring. He said to give countenance and everything. Now murmuring. But we don't know. But we just thought it's murmuring. That's why I started. I said it's a wisdom that from beneath. Unto you, hey, it's enlarging his mouth against you. Because hey, it's from beneath. For this wisdom does not come from above. They are from beneath. Where there's murmuring, envy, strife, James. For these are not from above. They are from beneath. They are earthly. They are sensual. And they are devilish. But you just thought, I'm just murmuring. I'm just complaining. No, it's not complaining. You are open air against yourself. It's gate of air. It's bombarding your mind, bombarding your heart. And you are cooperating with it. You must not suffice without warfare. That warfare is not waking up in the middle of the night to come and do prayer meeting. No. That warfare is coming against every thought, imaginations, hiding against the knowledge of God. That's how you fight death. That's how you war against death. But you have not resisted sin unto blood, striving against blood. You fight it. So that you can be a witness of God's love. So you must see that God's intention is to make you the witness of God's life. But you have to know, it's not only God is interested in you. Death is also interested. He too wants to make witnesses. It's good. Men with small life are already rising. Witness of small life are rising. But God wants to raise men with great life that have victory over great deaths. And God wants men that have the promise, the gift of God, which is eternal life. This is what the Lord is looking for. This is what God wants to raise. Honor and glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.